Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. We have an incredible show for you today. During the first hour, I'll be interviewing the Honorable Paul Hellyer, who will be coming to us live from Toronto, Canada. Paul was the former Canadian Minister of Defense from 1963 to 1967, and he personally knew John F. Kennedy. He's a wonderful man, and he'll be coming on the show in just a few minutes. Then during the following hour, from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing Carolyn White, a wonderful aura reader and psychic who is a keynote speaker at my upcoming Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018. If you register for the conference before December 31st, the conference cost will only be $147. And then after January 1st, the cost will be $197. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I plan to be having some of the world's best healers and psychics at my conference, and I hope you can all come. Also, I wanted to tell you some upcoming events. I'll be on December 16th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. At Last Word Books on 111 Cherry Street in Olympia, Washington. I'll be giving a presentation on my book that was just published, Messages from the Masters. I'll also have copies of the book, too, and if you'd like to come, I hope you can. Then on Saturday, January 20th, I'll be sponsoring a wonderful psychic fair in Olympia, Washington at the Washington RV Events Center. It's at 9101 Stillicum Road. It's free, and we'll have almost 30 different vendors ranging from psychic readers, crystal shops, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people at our second annual Cosmic Awareness Fair. Again, it's free, and we'll have a series of free lectures throughout the day, including myself, where I'll be giving a presentation on my book, Messages from the Masters. Also, Michiko Hayashi from the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo will be giving her her presentation as well. For more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to tell you more about it. My new book called Messages from the Masters has just been published, and if you'd like an autograph copy for $20, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. The book contains messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Dr. Masaru Emoto, Nikola Tesla, Mahatma Gandhi, the Galactic Alliance, and many others. It's available both on CreateSpace and on Amazon. And I want to thank Paul, who's on the line now, so much for writing a wonderful foreword for my book. And I'd like to bring him now onto my program. Paul, welcome to Out of This World Radio. How are you doing today?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing quite well, thanks, for a young fellow.
Oh, good. You're what, about 19 or 20? Is that right, I think?
Well, I'm 49.
49.
You kind of reverse those figures while you get close.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. You know, Paul, you're one of the most interesting people that I've ever interviewed. And also what I really like about you, you've got a really good heart. You want to do the right thing for humanity. And you've worked tirelessly to do that your entire life. You know, there's so many things to talk about. You wrote, for example, an open letter to Prime Minister Trudeau back on June 1st of 2016, and you talked about various ways that the economy not only of Canada but also the United States and other countries could also be fixed. And then you've written a book called The Money Mafia. You've also made statements that that many governments around the world are actually hiding aliens and extraterrestrials. And then in another interview that you had with Russian television, I think it was in 2015, you mentioned that that there were perhaps 80 different species out there, and it was things you say are just fascinating. So I want to leave it up to you, Paula, what you'd like to talk about today, because I'll leave it totally up to you what you'd like to start off with.
Ted, I think it's really your call. There are so many things that one could talk about.
Sure.
But the world is in a bit of a mess, which I don't have to tell you about. And we've got to do something about it if we can. I'm just starting on my my memoirs, which will be my 15th and final book. I've said final for the last two, the 13th and 14th.
Uh-huh.
Light at the End of the Tunnel and The Money uh-huh. Mafia, but this one will, I am 95% sure, really be my last.
Well, you're...
What it is, it's going to be, the first part is mm-hmm. going to be a story, the story of my life mm-hmm. up to the year 2004.
Uh-huh.
And then the last 10 chapters are going to be what I have learned since then about what governments are doing, the lies they're telling.
Sure.
And what they plan for us that we should be concerned about, and what maybe some small things that we could do about it.
Sure.
And so a little bit of revelation in the last three chapters, which I think people will find quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
saw the cover today for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And it says, my views about Canada, the United States, the world, and the universe.
Oh.
On the cover.
Wonderful.
And an autobiography by Paul Hatter.
Uh-huh.
So it's my bowing out work, and I think the one that's going to have the most impact by far, because it will hopefully be published in several languages more or less simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
and consequently have more effect on the disclosure process than a single book or a single speech or a single YouTube or anything like that.
Sure. Sure.
So that's kind of where I stand at the moment, and I'm putting my my full effort into this because I'm doing it at the deadline. The publishing date is September the 11th, 2018,
mm-hmm.
and that date was not just random. It was chosen deliberately to remember a terrible thing that happened on that date years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact it has had on the world, and, quite a bit about it.
What happened on September 18th, Paul? What date, if you don't mind me asking, what significance does that date have?
September the 11th, 2018.
Oh, right. Oh, September. Oh, I thought I just meant 18th. Oh, okay, September 11th. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That date, yeah.
So that's sort of where I'm at, and I haven't been actively involved in, day-to-day ufology for quite a long while now. I've been concentrating on the money problem.
Right.
And it's in the news today. Both of our daily newspapers here in Toronto have been emphasizing this Bitcoin bubble.
Oh, yeah.
That Wall Street is warning people about, and I would warn people.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I knew it was going to happen. I take a stand against it in the Money Mafia mm-hmm. because it's just another virtual money put together by some very clever people to create the purchasing power for them and their friends to buy the products, services and the products of ordinary people.
Uh-huh.
Who work for a living,
hmm.
but without creating any wealth.
Right.
And so this is just a series of concerns because I understand there are five or six competitors now trying to start new cryptocurrencies.
Sure.
And we'll be peddling them and saying, hmm. get in on the ground floor and make a fortune.
Right.
And maybe somebody will take the bait and do it,
mm-hmm.
and maybe somebody who gets in early and gets out early might be able to make a little money.
Sure.
But eventually those things have to be banned totally. They have to be wiped off the face of the earth. And what I have been selling in the Money Mafia and elsewhere is that there is no solution to the economic problems of the world except a massive intrusion into the economy of government-created debt-free money. The system we have now, Ted, is that all money is created as debt.
Right.
And right. if you want any, you have to borrow it.
Right.
The problem is, if you borrow it, you have to pay it back with interest.
Right, exactly.
But nobody creates any money to pay it back with interest.
Right.
So So what do? You have to borrow more.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the national debt in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
One of the silliest things that Congress ever did 103 years ago or so was to let the international bankers get control of printing your money, of creating your money.
Right, right. Jack Kennedy calls it a scam.
Well, it was a scam.
Yeah,
it still is a scam.
It's just a total scam.
It's grand larceny.
Yeah. Well, under Article 7 of the U.S. Constitution, only the U.S. Treasury Department can issue currency, not private banks. But look how tricky they were, Paul. They called their system the Federal Reserve System. When it's not federal, it's private, and it's not reserve.
Neither one.
Yeah, neither one. Mm-hmm.
They should say the Big Bankers Association.
Right.
Federation.
Right.
And they should say, and our business is creating money out of thin air.
Right. Exactly.
Because we have a license.
Right.
Given to us by the government of the United States.
Right.
To create $20 out of thin air for every dollar we invest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is so ludicrous on the face of it.
Right.
That it makes you wonder, you know, here we are, sometimes I think a reasonably intelligent species of people.
Uh-huh.
Other times I wonder. and so I'm sure so do most of your listeners.
All of my listeners are very intelligent, I assure you.
And here we are, we can do the most complicated medical interventions, and some of them now by remote control.
Right.
We can put people into space, we can fly in space.
Sure.
And we can do other incredible things.
Yeah.
Smashing the atom and so on, and making all kinds of weapons that are capable of wiping out our whole species.
Sure.
And all those things we can do, but we can't design a monetary system that works for the people, the 99%.
Yeah.
And actually, it's only about a 1/10 of 1% that really, you know, gain constantly from this system, which allows them to a leverage of 20, as we call it, where you can, the money mafia, and I use the illusion there. It's not an illusion.
Right.
But we had an investigation in Montreal, our second largest city up here,
uh-huh.
of that allegedly the Sicilian mafia were taking 2 to 3% off the top of construction projects, sidewalks. And all of that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
The people who create money take 95% off the top.
How funny. Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for extremes.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got one. There's only one solution. That's government-created money.
Yeah.
There is no other, period.
Yeah.
But no one will listen.
You mentioned that in 1939, there were no jobs in Canada, but then the government created their own money and created the wealth that helped the country get through World War II and spur economic growth all the way to 1974 when it was some crazy stuff happened and they took away that system. And
you know, Ted, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I remember it because, believe it or not, I was around then.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1938 and the early part of 1939, there were no jobs.
Well,
when I say no, I don't, you know, there could have been a handful of jobs in the whole country.
Right.
But you wouldn't find one if you spent most of your life looking for it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And all of a sudden, along comes the war.
Yeah, right.
Pretty soon, everybody's working.
Right.
In the armed forces, the Army, Navy, and Air Force, and making munitions, building ships, building airplanes.
Sure.
Building factories, doing all of these things. And then after the war, building infrastructure, like the St. Lawrence Seaway, we did the largest part of that because mm-hmm. the largest part of it goes through Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Trans-Canada Highway and our big new airport terminals of the time.
Sure.
And then we built the Dew Line, which mm-hmm. most of your people, I guess, would not be familiar with, but mm-hmm. that Dew stands for Distant Early Warning, which was a radar line that went right around the continent.
Wow.
The southern United States, right up around the Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we had the lion's share of that. Mm-hmm. And we had to build it and pay for it.
Wow.
And we were able to do that. And plus a lot of other things that I'm not going to take time to mention.
Sure.
But including a lot of provincial and municipal infrastructure as well. And we were able to do all of that without accumulating any significant debt, because the government, in effect, created its own money through the Bank of Canada.
Sure.
And we did that from 1939, when the war started, right through until 1974, when our guys got the fever, the globalization fever, that everybody has to do the same thing everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so they bought into this business of letting the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland set the rules. And one of the rules they set was not to provide cheap money for governments.
Oh, yeah.
And whose business, how did they get the right to say that?
Right.
Because they had no right.
Right.
They weren't Canadians.
Right.
It wasn't their bank.
Right.
It wasn't their infrastructure. It wasn't their problem.
Yeah.
But they had this power because they had the backing of the most powerful families in the world.
Right, right.
And some of them with a Nazi tinge of Nazi Nazism going back before World War II and through and after. And it's a very interesting organization. They pay no taxes. It's so secret that secretaries of finance or call them down there, the treasurer.
Right.
The Secretary of the Treasury, I guess.
Yeah, Secretary of the Treasury, right.
And the finance minister here in
right.
Canada.
Right.
Are not allowed to attend.
Oh, my goodness.
Prime ministers are not allowed to attend.
Wow.
They keep no minutes. Huh. And so you've got to ask yourself what kind of an organization it is.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I know the Bush family, Prescott Bush, was indicted by our Justice Department back in 1943 for doing business for the Nazis in a Nazi bank, and they themselves were great admirers of the Nazis, and you've also said in your book too that like 62 families have acquired 50% of all the wealth in the world through this system.
No, it was three or four years ago. It was 88 families.
Uh huh. Okay.
And it dropped to 80. And in 2016, I guess it was 62. I'm told it's less than that now.
Uh huh. Wow.
But can you get your mind around that?
Well, wow.
I mean, the way I kind of look at it and explain it to people, it's yeah. only a. It's
yeah.
It's kind of well, it's about as close as I can get to an image to get people thinking.
Right.
That is, you start on one side of the ocean, say the Pacific, and get. Hong Kong and Beijing and Shanghai and mm-hmm. all of those huge, huge cities.
Right.
And you jump across the pond and you start with Vancouver and San Francisco and Los Angeles and,
mm-hmm.
and across the country, the mid-country cities, Philadelphia and mm-hmm. Toronto and New York and all of the cities. Right through to the East Coast, and then you jump across the pond again, and you get London, Manchester, and so
sure.
on, and Paris, and Bonn, and so on, right on back around to New Delhi and Dubai and all of these cities. And these 62 families that you could put on one suburban street own the equivalent of every second one of those cities all the way around the world.
I'll be doggone. That's amazing.
I find difficulty. I've got a big imagination, but yeah. I find difficulty getting my head around that. And the way people say, well, how do they do that? Well, they have mortgages on all the buildings.
Well, I have to ask you, Paul, the last time this happened with this much concentration of wealth, wasn't that 1929, just before the Great Depression?
I don't think there's anything ever like we have now.
Not like, okay.
No, the thing that happened in 29 was that a New York bank started selling short.
Uh-huh.
and deliberately with some help of other banks from the banking cartel, brought down the system.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they did that in order to put the small banks out of business.
Mm.
And then when the small banks went broke, why, of course, they picked up their customers. Or if they're for sale for a few cents on the dollar, they probably buy them.
Sure.
And the consolidation. Well, a couple of things are noteworthy about that. That there was the U.S. Senate investigated. And there was at first they were sort of floundering around.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had an exceptionally bright lawyer who got his teeth into the thing.
Uh-huh.
His name was Picora, P-I-C-O-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
And you can Google that and you can get the report. And he looked at it and he came to the conclusion that the banks were just thoroughly rotten and that they were responsible for the mess.
Right.
And there's no doubt in my mind that that was true, and it was true again in 2007-8.
Uh-huh. Well.
And they do these things deliberately because they come out the winners.
Right, right.
And everybody else comes out the losers.
Right.
And lose their houses or their businesses or their jobs or
sure.
any two or three of the above.
Sure.
And who's not losing any sleep? The bankers.
Yeah.
I know this might be somebody listening to say, well, that's only partly true because I know some bankers who lost a little sleep. Well, not as much as they should have.
Sure, right.
The U.S. government putting up $600 or $700 billion to bail them out?
Yeah, right.
But that was only the beginning. You've read, I think, The Money Mafia, haven't you?
Right.
And you may remember that there are a couple of pages in there from the one and only audit that the Fed has ever had.
Hmm.
I guess Ron Paul was responsible for that, probably. But they created trillions and trillions of dollars in addition to those $600 billion or $700 billion, whatever it was.
Well,
and lent it to their friends, both bankers and
right.
corporations.
Yeah.
With no authority from any Congress.
Right.
With no accountability, just giving it to the people that they had interest in.
Right.
That they wanted to not only survive but prosper.
Right.
And creating all of this money, which has been hanging over the market.
Right.
And some of it has been used to inflate asset prices, because when the banks started getting their hands on all that cash and paying zero interest on it, or practically
right.
zero interest most of the time,
yeah.
and they would buy up stocks and push the price up.
Right.
And they start buying oil companies and ports and all sorts of other things, and inflating prices. And who do you think the losers are?
Oh, yeah. The people.
The people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
The 99%.
Right. Right.
And the ones that work all their lives and wind up with huge mortgages on their houses when they
yeah.
die.
Yeah.
And some of them do, some of them don't. But
right.
It was pretty rough going. And the level of debt in my country now is the highest it's ever been.
Wow.
With the average person having more debt than they have income to pay it off.
Wow. Wow.
It's a sad situation.
Well, I've had my own experience with banks, and my grandmother passed away, actually. She lived in Lethbridge, Alberta, Paul, and she
was
a nice, really nice lady. She passed away in 1955.
Uh-huh. And
she had appointed the Royal Bank of Canada as her trustee. Thing was, is that after she passed away, even though her estate was worth $1.3 million, the bank only distributed $39,000.
You're kidding.
Nope.
That was the Royal Bank?
The Royal Bank of, RBC, Royal Bank of Canada. And,
wow.
We've been investigating it for some time, and it's hard to get good records. But at any rate, it's kind of left me with a bad taste in my mouth. So, anyway.
There are so many examples like that.
Yeah.
But it's just disgusting. I get letters almost, well, not every day, but almost, certainly almost every week from people who have been ripped off in one way or another.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's too bad. That's too bad.
And then, of course, I got quite a few, too, saying that people have seen UFOs. And,
sure, sure.
And a few of them have been abducted and other things. But I get so much correspondence that, quite frankly, I can't cope with it.
Well, I always feel grateful whenever you answer my calls and emails, because I know you must get a lot of correspondence, Paul. So I should probably write, "This is not junk mail," on the top of my emails. So
it's lucky for you, I recognize your name.
Oh, well, good.
Although, actually, I make an effort to acknowledge all of the mail from real people.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I can't respond to them, and that's certainly getting more true all the time, because when you're writing from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, 5 days a week.
Oh, my goodness.
And that doesn't count, that's just a rough draft.
Wow.
That doesn't count any of the edits. I have about 2 or 3 layers of edits, and then I have to incorporate those into the text and decide how many I'm going to accept.
Wow.
And I had underestimated the time necessary for that. It takes as much as the original writing.
Yeah.
So it is a full-time job, and then if you get emails in, like I did one today from somebody who's thinking of moving to the States and really take me on for size, I didn't understand what she was saying, where she was getting her quotes and so on.
Uh-huh.
But it's sad, and I think I'm going to have to respond and say, tell me about it.
Yeah.
But you understand, because I don't understand, and frankly, if you'd get a copy of the Money Mafia, then you would know what's going on in the United States fairly well, not completely. Nobody, anybody has a handle on the whole thing.
Right.
Although what I have, that it's not a single subject book.
Right, right.
It's not just about money. It's about... Operation Paperclip, and the Nazis that came into the United States at the end of World War II.
And
were given new identities and new jobs, some of them very important jobs.
Right.
And a lot of other things, the disguising the truth, the cabal, as I call it.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure your listeners all know it. The way I define it, it's at the top of the heap is the money cartel.
Sure.
And, of course, the Bavarian Illuminati. And then the next thing is the oil cartel.
Sure.
And then the transnational corporations.
Right.
And then the intelligence agencies, a lot of them. I only mention about 3 normally, that CIA, the FBI, and the NSA.
Sure.
Plus the British MI6 and the Israeli Mossad.
Yeah.
They're all in it together, and then a huge slice of the American military.
Right.
And since Truman's day, they have been running the United States.
That's true.
Neither Congress nor the President has been in charge.
Right, right.
And this comes as a big shock to a lot of people, as it should, including the Congress people themselves. I guess you're aware of the 2013 conference in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
That Steve Bassett put together.
Oh, yeah. The disclosure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Aware, very aware of it. Yeah.
And 40 witnesses with a mock panel of 6 former congresspeople.
Uh-huh.
And not one of them was aware either of UFOs or of the fact that they inadvertently, and the American people, had paid trillions of dollars to back engineer alien technology.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have a clue.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was sad, because these are the people that should know what's going on.
Well,
and ironically, I had a call the other day. The head of MUFON USA?
I don't know him personally, but I certainly know the organization, sure.
Yeah. I got a call from the top guy a few days ago saying, I have a former staffer from the U.S. Senate Intelligence Group would like to talk to you.
Oh.
At least I would like you to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
Because I think the wool was pulled over their eyes.
Sure.
In a very direct and dramatic way.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And so he gave me a call, and I came to the conclusion that that was straight goods,
mm-hmm.
and that they hadn't been told the truth.
Yeah.
And that there are a lot of things that they should know. I suggest they could start by reading The Money Mafia, and then we could take it from there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But one thing, Paul, I want to thank you, by the way, so much for writing that wonderful foreword for my book. It was really inspiring.
Well, it was fascinating, and I haven't got my copy yet, but I'm looking forward to it, and that's on my Christmas reading list, because I'm going to quote from it in my new book.
Oh, good.
So well, that'll maybe give you a plug that you all deserve.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate that. I sent it to you by U.S. mail here. Wow, about a week and a half ago, and I actually have friends going up to Vancouver, Canada on Sunday, and I think what I'll do is just give them another book just to make sure you get it okay. So,
well, I would appreciate it because I really want to read it one of the only two times in the whole year that I have any discretionary time for reading. I'm just going to take that week off and read.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. One of the things that I talk about in my book, Paul, is the fact that the vibrations of this planet are really increasing at a rapid rate. For example, for tens of thousands of years, and you read about it in my book, what's called the Schumann resonance, or the frequency of this planet, was at like 7.8 hertz. And in September of 2016, it almost doubled to 13.8. Then Christmas time went to 36 hertz. In January of this year went to 40 hertz. In May, it went to 120 hertz. And after the solar eclipse in August, I think it must be closer to 180, maybe even 190 now. And what's happening with the vibrations going up is that negative governments, negative banking institutions, negative people, negative relationships are falling apart because they can't handle the higher vibrations, because this planet is headed to a much higher vibrational state. And as it goes into this higher vibrational state, it's going to shake out all the bad stuff. And this banking system that you mentioned, where 62 or 58 or 55 families can own and control 50% of the world's wealth, is not sustainable. It's only sustainable if the planet was going in a service-to-self negative mood, and it's a negative mode, and it's not. It's going into a very positive new vibration. And we are, you and I and everyone listening today, through their own actions, are helping to create this beautiful new planet. And that's one of the messages that President Kennedy has given me many times, is that he tried to institute good changes from the top down back in 1963 in the early 60s.
Positively.
But it's coming.
And he was one of the casualties.
He was one of the casualties, absolutely. And I think we all know who actually murdered him. But nevertheless, that change now, he tells me, is coming from the top, from the bottom up, from all of us working together. And the, you can call them a cabal or whatever name you call them, it's too much for them. There's too many of us all at once working. And this brings up another example I'd like to tell you about, my listeners. In 1942 in Copenhagen, the Nazis tried to force all elementary school teachers in Denmark to teach Nazi doctrine to all the kids. Every single teacher in Denmark refused, and not one went to a concentration camp because there were too many of them. The Nazis couldn't send them all to concentration camps.
Right.
And there's too many of us now working on the good side of things. And the tide has turned. I've told that, since September of last year, the tide has turned. We're not out of the woods yet. We've got a lot of challenges ahead of us.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the future. I really am, not only for ourselves, but our children and children's children. I know it's going to be a beautiful, bright future for all of us.
That's the reason I named my book Hope Restored.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Because that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I put in some of my early experiences because some of my friends have been telling me I had to do it before I die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's a wagon
uh-huh.
on which to carry the important stuff.
Oh, nice.
Which comes mm-hmm. later on about what's been happening and what is happening and mm-hmm. some of the things that are likely to happen in the
mm-hmm.
years ahead.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Paul, you've written so many wonderful books, and I know you're trying to make this planet a better place. Have you had, like, what would you call defectors from the cabal or from negative forces call you up or contact you clandestinely and say, you know, Paul, you're right, and give you information? Have you had that happen?
I've had quite a few whistleblowers.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That I talk to, and there are quite a few YouTubes of whistleblowers, and I have a couple of friends who keep track of them,
mm-hmm.
and they send them to me when they pick them up.
Oh.
And they're very revealing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They get into all sorts of things like government involvement in drug dealing,
mm-hmm.
Mm. which, as you know, is something that people don't talk about.
Right.
But how can you have a war against drugs when the biggest drug dealers in the country are part of the government?
Frankly, it's hard for me to get any good information on this, Paul, but one of the reasons why the wall with Mexico in particular has not been sealed is because it's a very porous border and it's very easy to smuggle drugs into the United States if your border is wide open.
It may be very easy, but it's just as easy to fly them in from Afghanistan accompanied by United States Air Force jet fighters.
Oh, wow.
I'm told.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
I got this straight on the phone from somebody who did it the other day.
Oh, wow, yeah. I've heard rumors where that's the real reason why we're in Afghanistan is for the poppy fields, and they fly it to Mexico, or they just fly it into
it's
the States.
It's certainly an important reason for being there for a lot of people.
Wow, wow.
It doesn't matter how many people get killed.
Right.
As long as the trade goes on and the money is available for the for the cabal to back engineer technology.
Right, right.
It's a sad thing, but as you say, I think it's starting to unravel.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It has to unravel at a faster pace, and it will once more people know what's going on, if more of the truth is exposed.
Right.
But, the people of the United States haven't really heard the truth for about 70 years.
I agree. That's true. Yeah, that's right.
And there was one exception, I think, that in Washington years ago,
mm-hmm.
where some UFOs flew over the White House, the central area.
Mm-hmm.
And this was detected and reported in the local press, which they did on that occasion.
Right.
And the U.S. General, a couple of days later, went on air and said, yes, they are, but we do not know the origin. Hmm. And there hasn't been anything similar to that since that I know of.
Right, right, right.
I think it was Shirley MacLaine that had, this was one of the things that got her involved in the business in such a large way.
Wow.
That she was a witness with her little telescope, and became enchanted with the whole subject.
Uh-huh.
And this follows us ever since.
Wow, amazing. Well, I feel very fortunate. I've been in telepathic contact with the Galactic Alliance for the past 2 or 3 years, and they are here, actually, and they really like you and your work, Paul, and they're benevolent, service to others, ETs. Unfortunately, the U.S. government has been involved with a group of negative extraterrestrials since the 50s, and that's why we've had such problems down here. You mentioned, I know in your interviews on RT, for example, in 2014, that you said that some of the extraterrestrials had visited Las Vegas dressed as nuns.
Yeah, those were the tall whites.
Okay, yeah, the tall whites, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they were stationed in the Area 51.
Right.
The desert there, the firing range.
Yeah.
And lived inside the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And operated a hospital jointly with the United States Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a lot of interaction, as you know. There were some scout cars there, some of them that were manufactured in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a story that Paul Harris broke some years ago. principal from the story. I wrote Thursday books.
Millennial
hospitality, I think he called them.
Yeah, right, right.
And this, number two, if anybody's listening wants to pick one of the three, I think that he wrote, number two would be the best bet. He can only afford either the time or the money for one.
Amazing.
And it's worth reading just to learn some of the things that seem obvious, but which don't get much attention.
Right. Right.
People being scared out of their wits.
Right.
When they encounter some of these species.
Right.
Who can go very fast, and sort of fly over fences, and do all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so Charles Hall was an exception. He had a little something or other with what he helped rescue the daughter of one of the ETs, who was fairly high ranking.
And
they struck up a friendship eventually. They trusted each other.
Right.
And so he was about the only person around that the Pentagon could get to stay there. Because as they found what was actually going on, they said, "Take me home."
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I actually met Charles Hall in 2014 in Norway, and I listened to his presentation. It's very interesting. Very interesting, Paul. Yeah. Yeah.
No, there are lots of things, and some of this, a lot of this information is in the public domain now.
Right.
In the sense that people have written about it, including myself and many others.
Sure.
And some of it, well worth reading,
right?
But it gets no publicity in the mainline press.
Oh yeah,
because the press is controlled.
Yeah, it is controlled. Absolutely.
It's not only the press controlled; the press controls us.
Right, right.
We put out whatever the White House or one of the departments say in a press release.
Right.
And give it headlines and a lot of coverage.
Right.
And if they want to put out lies, why we're inclined to believe them.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm doing some prayers for Fukushima during the first part of the next hour for several reasons. First off, the U.S. media ignores Fukushima completely. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find any articles about it, but it's still there, still a problem. And it's always amazing to me when I listen. I don't listen to the mainstream media news very much, but when I do, I'm always thinking, what are they leaving out? You know, in terms of their coverage.
Because what they leave out is 10 times more important than what they put in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I've written more op-ed pieces than you can take a stick at on several of these subjects, and they just go and wind up in the basket eventually. Because the press won't print them.
Well,
and I think if anybody really wants to know the extent to which the press is controlled, they could get a book written by a chap who wrote The True Story of the Bilderbergers.
Okay.
What was his name? Daniel Estulin.
Okay.
Daniel Estulin, The True Story of the Bilderbergers, but he has since written another book on the transformation, you know, the sort of part of trying to create part people who are part human and part not human. In that book, which I don't recommend to people because it's a little too far out. Unless you're really into the subject, but there are several pages that list chapter and verse of all of the major English language news outlets. And in every case, they are either owned or controlled by a Bilderberger.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I have to tell you this. This is something funny happening to our mass media here in the United States. Did you know that the Cartoon Channel has more viewers on a daily basis than CNN does now?
Is that right?
Yeah. It's they've got CNN's as of 6 months ago or so, eight. It had They only had like 110,000 viewers at any given time. The Cartoon Channel has closer to 180,000, 200,000. My listening base is about 170 on a good show, can go up to 200,000, more than 70 countries. So my show itself has more people listening than CNN does.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, yeah, my pleasure, Paul. Yeah, my pleasure. But people want the truth. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being played with, and they want the truth. And
well,
many
people, if they want the truth, I have a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my most recent books,
mm-hmm.
Light at the End of the Tunnel,
uh-huh.
And the subtitle is A Survival Plan for the Human Species.
Mm-hmm.
So that it, I've never written a book that doesn't offer something positive.
Sure.
Because I don't think, I don't like people to say, well, the world's going to you know where.
Right.
And then say there's, in effect, don't say what you can do about it.
Right, right.
And so in both cases, and in every case, in every book, I say what the problem is and then offer a solution, whether it's 100% right or not, you know, who knows, but there at least there's solutions, there are things that people can do.
Right.
So the Light at the End of the Tunnel, A Survival Plan for the Human Species, and then the latest book, as you know, The Money Mafia, A World in Crisis. And they're both available from my website, and if anybody wants to get an autographed copy, they can just go to my website and order it and pay through PayPal.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
And they'll all be individually inscribed to a person or to whomever they want.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving it as a gift to someone who has everything.
Wonderful.
But that's something that I sometimes do to people when I've got any spare time, and I don't have much spare time, but I'm willing to take a little time out the weekends to do those autographs and get the books out.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You could probably have an assistant. I
have an assistant.
Oh, good.
Does most of the work.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
On a case like that, unfortunately, she's got a cold that's been going around up here that knocks people out for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had it,
uh-huh.
And I coughed day and night for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not a happy feeling. I didn't stop working, but it was... the only way I could sleep was to sleep sitting up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm glad to be well again. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that because I wanted to give you time if you'd like to focus in on any other subjects. You know, I know a lot of people listen to my show not only for financial advice but also on the UFO and ET area. When do you think there will be actual disclosure? I think most people, according to opinion polls, realize that there's other species beyond this planet. But do you think there will ever be an official government announcement about it?
Not until they're forced by the numbers of people that you were talking about.
Okay.
When enough people,
right?
And I don't know what the critical number is, mm-hmm. but it would have to be a lot.
Right.
Write the government and say, tell us the truth about this or you're toast at the next election. It will, disclosure will take place.
You know what?
But not before that. And you've got to mean it, too. You can't just write and say you're going to be toast and then go and vote for them.
One thing that Helen Caldicott told me on my show here about a year and a half ago, she said it was a misdemeanor. It's a crime not to vote in Australia.
Yeah.
So you have to vote.
There's a penalty if you don't vote.
Yeah, yeah. And here in the United States, a lot of people don't vote, which I think is tragic. And I thought that was a really good idea, actually.
Well, it is a good idea to vote,
mm-hmm.
but it's really depressing if you realize that usually, almost always, the cabal have two candidates, and both of them are in their pocket.
Right.
And consequently, it doesn't matter which one gets in because the cabal is going to call the shots.
Right.
And that's the really the sad thing. And the Wall Street's been running the United States for a long while, and more recently in the last 70 years,
mm-hmm.
the whole country has been run by these by this amorphous group called the Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've on the one hand, you're deterred from voting because you can say to yourself, it's not going to make any difference.
Right.
On the other hand, there's no hope if people don't vote.
True. That's true.
In the hope that sometime, somewhere, somehow,
right,
it's going to make a difference.
Right. Right.
And that's the bottom line. And
mm-hmm.
So we have to get enough people who are willing to vote and use their vote to get some democracy back into the system.
Right. I agree. Yep, I agree.
Because there hasn't been any, and that was one of the things in this email that I got today that disturbed me.
He's
talking as if the U.S. is a perfect democracy, and in my response, I'm going to say, sorry, lady, I just can't agree with you. Because why did General Eisenhower have to threaten to use the First Army in Colorado to get access to Area 51?
That's right. I wrote about that in my book, actually. That's true. In 1959, people don't realize it, but I don't think no president or there or any representatives from any sitting U.S. president has gone into Area 51 since 1959. Nope, haven't gone in.
I don't think so, and that's because they're not allowed to.
Right. It's really run by another species, the reptilians.
It's run by another, the shadow government or the alternate government, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And I think Bill Clinton summed it up when Sarah McClendon, senior reporter, said, Mr. President, why don't you disclose more about the ETs and their technology?
Sure.
His reply was, and I quote, if I remember correctly, Sarah, there is a government within the government,
right,
and I don't control it, period, end of quote.
Wow.
Now, can you imagine, here is the government of the United States, the President of the United States,
right,
Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces.
Right.
Theoretically, the man with his finger on the nuclear button.
Right.
And he's not really running the country.
Hmm.
And has to admit it. And is not told what is going on. He's given a briefing, of course, about these subjects that we're talking about.
Right.
But it's very superficial.
Right.
And usually they say ETs are benign, but that there is one or two exceptions, which we know to be true.
Right.
And that's about as much information as they get.
Sure, sure. I know that I actually drove past Area 51 some weeks ago. It was about a month ago, more than a month now. And on that highway, there's actually roads that go into Area 51, Paul, but they have big signs saying, if you pass this point, we will shoot you. We will kill you, period.
That's kind of direct, isn't it?
Yeah, it's direct. And
I mean, that's the kind of language that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, right, right. And it's on so-called public land, but you can't go in, unless you want to die,
Yeah, and even if you're a president.
Even if you're a president, you can't go in.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Because I don't want to start any rumors. I do know that... from Dr. Greer, Steve Greer, who was the first person who briefed me after I went public 12 years ago, that he had a long talk with Bill Clinton and about disclosure and so on, and got the positive response, yes, I'll be glad to do that because people should have the truth.
Yeah.
And then, as always happens, he had a visit from a couple of friendly people. Said, Mr. Clinton, you can do what you like, but you're at the risk of having a very short presidency.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Paul, I want to thank, we've got about a minute left. I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and I can't wait for your book to come out next year.
I think you'll find it interesting to, it is, I don't want to overestimate, but I think it will be one of the most interesting books that will come out next year.
Wonderful, wonderful. What's your website again, Paul, so people
it's
can...
paulhazerweb.com.
Okay. P-A-E...
Shorter versions weren't available, so we had to go with what they gave us, and that was, it's all one word, paulhazerweb.com.
Okay, great. P-A-U-L-H-E-L-L-Y-E-R.com.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, Paul, good luck on your book. I'm so happy to talk to you. And I have to tell you, this studio has lit up and there's all this beautiful angelic light while you've been talking. And I know you've got a lot of good angels helping you out today.
Right, and good sales with your book, and I look forward to reading it.
Great, great. I'll have another copy sent to you from Vancouver tomorrow or Sunday.
Wonderful.
And Paul, have a beautiful and happy Christmas. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please stay tuned to our next hour.